Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
We've been in this series we're calling Cancel Culture, talking about the things that Jesus cancels. And as I've said every week throughout the series, Jesus never canceled people. When we think of cancel culture, that's what we think of, is people getting canceled for doing one little wrong thing. For Jesus, it was never about that. We're redefining cancel culture from a biblical context of how Jesus came to cancel ideas and misinformation and the evil that he encountered as he was on planet Earth. Today, I want to wrap up this little series of messages by talking about the fact that Jesus came to cancel hypocrisy and cancel religious mindsets. I've got a photo I want to show you of, this is Sesame Street, backstage Sesame Street in the 1970s. Doesn't that mess with you a little bit? Like, you can't see it in that angle, but there's like another guy over here that's controlling. I've been told that's Ernie on the left. That's Ernie, right? Bert and Ernie. I get them so confused. I don't know. But Ernie on the left, there's actually two people controlling him. Don't you imagine that their arms are getting a little tired? I mean, when I saw this picture, I've always known they were puppets, but I didn't want to see it. Didn't that kind of burst your bubble? Yeah. How many of you know people that seem to have a whole different side to them that you never get to see, that they always try to hide? Maybe they're one of those people who they're really nice to people that they think can help them, or to people who are they feel like are important. But yet when they're with you or when they're with somebody else, they're a completely different person. Or maybe they're just somebody who has distinct personalities based on who they're around, and so you're never quite sure which one you're gonna get or who's gonna get which one. We have a term for this. It's called a hypocrite. A hypocrite, the technical meaning of the word hypocrite is an actor. It's someone who wears masks. They wear masks to portray something that they want to be seen in a given moment. Meanwhile, the core of who they are never changes, but the mask changes because they're playing a character. It's all about the show. They show what they want to show. To put it simply, a hypocrite is someone who fails to sync what they say with what they portray. Or they change who they are depending on the circumstances around them. And let's be honest this morning that the church has a reputation of being full of a bunch of hypocrites. Rightly so, many times. Some of you are here this morning and you haven't been to church in a long time, or maybe before you came to this church, you hadn't been to church in a long time. And one of the reasons, if somebody were to ask you, one of the reasons you would say is because I've tried that and the church is full of just a bunch of hypocrites. Some of you have never been to church before. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're in the room this morning. First off, thank you so much for trusting us to come. But one of the reasons why you have never been to church and you've never cared anything about organized religion is because you've sensed that it's just full of a bunch of hypocrites. And so why in the world waste an hour and a half of your Sunday morning? Some of you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning in a crowd this size. And the reason isn't because you dislike Jesus that much. You can get on board with Jesus and his grace and his love and his mercy and his care for you. The problem is, are the people that claim to be followers of that Jesus don't treat you the way that Jesus, or the way that they claim that Jesus would have treated other people. Can I just say, on behalf of the church, that I'm sorry if you have adopted that characteristic of the church and you have believed it. I am sorry that the church is full of hypocrites. And I don't think it's that we expect anybody to be perfect. I don't think that the outside world expects the church to be perfect, but it does expect us to be authentic and not to be hypocrites acting on a stage one way at church, another way on Tuesday morning at work. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we've looked down our nose at you. I'm sorry that we've hidden our sin and pointed out yours. I'm sorry that we've alienated entire groups of people. I'm sorry that the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Today, I want to, delicately as I know how, to tackle this extremely difficult topic of hypocrisy. And my prayer for today has not been that anybody would feel beat down. My prayer is that you would know that in the presence of Jesus, you don't have to be a hypocrite. My title is See You on the Other Side. See You on the Other Side. If you don't like religious people or hypocrites, well, I've got good news for you this morning. Jesus don't either. As a matter of fact, in our passage of scripture this morning is Matthew 23. We're going to get there in just a minute, but just to set it up, Jesus has been dealing with these religious hypocrites, and they've been asking him questions. Not because they're necessarily curious, but it's more about trying to trap him, trying to get him to speak against the Jewish law of the time that ran culture so that they could have him arrested because he spoke against that law. Just before the passage we're going to read, Jesus has told them some parables that they don't necessarily even realize are about them, but they are about their wickedness and this hypocrisy that they carry with them. Essentially, Jesus is speaking to these religious leaders who obey the law, the man-made law, externally, but do so out of pride and arrogance on the inside. Isn't that where a religious mindset and hypocrisy come from? It's from the heart, from the inside, from pride on the inside. These religious leaders that he's about to speak to are so concerned with looking the part that there's no love in their heart at all for the people around them or for God. They've gotten this whole thing wrong. And that is where hypocrisy begins. It begins on the other side that you can't hide, that I can't hide. It begins in the heart. I don't really think that anybody has ever woken up one morning and thought, you know what, today I'm going to start being a hypocrite. I mean, I've been this way. I've been authentic. I've been a real Jesus follower for a long time. But today, all that changes. I am going to become a hypocrite. Matter of fact, I'm going to ruin my reputation. I'm going to be a hypocrite. I don't think that happens. I think what happens is there's something inside of their heart that isn't dealt with. Maybe it's a root of pride. Maybe it's a root of bitterness. Maybe it's a root of insecurity. And so there's something inside of their heart that moves them to try to cover it up, to try to make it right. And so they begin to take steps away from their faith and away from their morals, one step at a time. And eventually, they wake up and they are a part of the problem. They're full-blown hypocrite. And that's why it can be hard for us to identify when we're the problem. It's kind of like pride. You know, pride is one of those things that you can recognize in other people. Some of y'all are like, I got somebody in my mind right now. Pride is one of those things you can recognize in other people, but you know what? It's hard to recognize in your own life, isn't it? Hypocrisy is one of those things that we can easily point fingers and say they are a hypocrite because of the way that they treated me. But it's hard to identify in our own lives. Why? Because it's a heart issue, and we have gradually not stepped into hypocrisy but drifted into it. It happens little by little. Oftentimes it happens by Satan whispering the lie to you. Nobody is going to know. It's okay. It's okay to do it once. Nobody's going to know. It's okay to try to get ahead. It's okay to cheat that. Nobody is going to know. In fact, that's Satan's lie in a lot of sins. The beginning of them is nobody's going to know. Don't worry about it. Can I just tell you that if that thought goes through your mind, it's okay. Nobody's going to know about it. If that thought goes through your mind, I can 100% guarantee you that is not from God. So if you battle that lie and you hear that voice inside your head that says, go ahead, nobody's going to know, that is not from God. That is a lie of Satan to try to move you to this point. And the problem with that is everybody, we eventually get found out, don't we? You can only hide things for so long. Eventually, you get found out. And what I've come to realize is for a lot of people who are hypocrites, the problem is it started with just a little insecurity. Maybe you were insecure and you didn't feel like anybody really liked you. I mean, as adults, I think we kind of lose the verbalization of the fact that we want to be liked, that we want to have friends. But let's face it, as adults, we want friends just as bad as kids want friends. And so what sometimes happens is we don't want to feel alone. We want to feel connected to people. We want to have friends. And so we change who we are depending upon who we're around, because there's this insecurity. There's this something that we need. And if we're not careful, we will begin to be defined by who we are when we're around certain people rather than who we know in our relationship with Jesus. These religious leaders that we're about to get to, I promise we're going to get to the passage of Scripture, have gotten to that place, and so Jesus is about to let them have it. And so Jesus is going to, in just a moment, we're getting there, in Matthew 23, he is going to make his last public declaration before the crucifixion. That surprised me, because if I'm Jesus, the Savior of the world, I think my last public declaration would have been some, like, amazing sermon. Like the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, there's a lot of things you could go to. But Jesus doesn't do any of that for his last public address before his crucifixion. He speaks up against this idea of religious mentality and of hypocrites. Before we dive in, I do think it's important. Once again, we're going to get there, I promise. I think it's important that to let you know that not all Pharisees were hypocrites. Most people would estimate there were around 6,000 Pharisees in Jesus' day, with others who were just kind of followers. They weren't full-blown Pharisees, but they tried to follow the law. And a bulk of the Pharisees, even though they get a bad rep in today's culture, or in today's church, a bulk of the Pharisees were middle-class people who had a genuine heart. Does that sound familiar? Because in the church, a lot of times, a few bad eggs ruin the whole batch. I think I messed up that saying. A few bad apples ruin the whole batch. Right? A few bad eggs ruin the whole carton. I don't know. Just go with me. But the Pharisees have this reputation, not because all of them were like that. All of the church is not hypocrites. Don't raise your hand. All of the church is not hypocrites, but we can get this reputation because it's that way in everything. A few bad apples ruin the whole bushel. I just wanted to say it a different way again. But there's this group of religious leaders in Matthew 23 that Jesus is about to have a good talking to. Let's read Matthew 23, starting in verse 1. It says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. In other words, their job was to teach the people of their time the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. That was it. Jesus continues, so practice and obey whatever they tell you. And then this next part is where Jesus is really headed. But don't follow their example. If they don't practice what they teach, they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Jesus is trying to tell these Pharisees, he's trying to tell us today to practice what you preach. Have you ever told anybody that? The people that talk a good game, they speak holy, they talk King James, they pray in thys and these and thous, but they treat you like dirt, and you want to say, hey, practice what you preach. These religious leaders have a messed up view of what it meant to be right with God. For starters, this title of them having the seat of Moses, that was a position that they promoted themselves to. There is no indication in the Old Testament that this is even an official title, but they promoted themselves to this place with this title so that they could push other people down and so that they could look apart. Meanwhile, the other side, their heart, wasn't lined up. To the Pharisee, righteousness meant strict obedience to the law of God, but also to the other laws that they had made up to try to obey the laws of God. And these Pharisees were pushing extreme demands against these people. They had laws that were as minute down to what spices they could have in their cupboard. And so Jesus is telling them, you've got the outside covered. You can talk a good game. These religious leaders, they can talk a good game, but don't follow their example, because their other side doesn't love God at all. It's not coming from a genuine place, because the other side is prideful and arrogant. Remember, hypocrisy begins in the heart. They did the right thing, but the reason why they did it was to force demands on other people to make themselves feel better so that they could be seen so that people would think more highly of them. And that's where many of you have been hurt by the church and Christians, because it all seemed about the way I look. They seemed all about the way that they looked. So they didn't do this. They did do that. They pointed their finger at you when you did that or when you didn't do that. They cleaned up on Sunday morning. Meanwhile, you knew what they were doing Friday night, but they never talked about it on Sunday morning. And it seemed like what you heard about the grace of Jesus wasn't what they represented. See, the truth is that we can't know anyone's heart. Y'all understand that, right? We can't know anyone's heart, but it's human nature to make assumptions based off of the way other people make you feel. If somebody treats you like dirt and makes you feel terrible, but yet speaks a good game, what are you going to assume? You're going to assume they're just a bunch of hypocrites. And I'll admit, us pastors haven't helped with this reputation that the church is full of hypocrites, have we? It's okay to nod your head, yes. I mean, it seems like almost every month you're hearing of some pastor who stood on a stage and preached to his people, yet had a whole different life behind the scenes. So they would point, call out other people's mistakes, tell other people how to live their life, yet behind closed doors, they were living completely other lives. Aren't you thankful that your pastors tell you how jacked up we are? I mean, you can say a lot of things, but hypocrite ain't one, because we tell you we're messed up. We're just as messed up as you are. We just know how to read the Bible differently. But pastors haven't helped with this reputation that the church is full of hypocrites. And so Jesus is saying to these leaders that they have a false sense of what their ministry was really supposed to be. For them, it was all about handing out burdens. Do this, don't do this, don't go there, go there, do it this way. But they were harder on others than they were themselves, because their hearts weren't right. So Jesus continues to speak to them, and in verse 5, he says, "Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels." We talked about those robes a couple weeks ago. "And they love to sit at the head of the table at banquets and in the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces." Somebody, y'all know somebody. You're thinking of somebody right now. "And they love to be called rabbi." In other words, we need to show what we know. If you're a follower of Jesus today, I want to ask you an important question, and I mean it with such grace. Are you a hypocrite? Would the people who are closest to you, the people who know you best, the people that you work 40 hours a week with, or the friends that you've had for a long time who get to see the other side of you, would they describe you as a hypocrite? Because I have some really good news that's going to take the pressure off of making you feel like you have to be a hypocrite. True hypocrisy isn't messing up, it's refusing to admit that you're messed up. Do you see the difference? True hypocrisy isn't getting it wrong on occasion. True hypocrisy is not stumping your toe and saying a bad word. True hypocrisy is not waving at people on the road with one finger every now and then because they pulled out in front of you. No, true hypocrisy isn't getting it wrong. True hypocrisy isn't being broken. True hypocrisy is refusing to look like you're broken. Jesus says, you can come to me with the brokenness, with the mess, but you don't have to fake it. That's what ruins our reputation. Not when we get it wrong. People don't expect us to be perfect. It's when we point fingers and we're unwilling to be authentic and admit that we messed up. I'm thankful for a church where you don't have to be a hypocrite, where you can. I'm thankful for a pastor who started this church over 25 years ago because he knew that he needed a place and people needed a place where they could be themselves. This is that place, y'all. You can be you. You can be you in the presence of Jesus, as messed up as you are. Can I take even more pressure off? Yeah. Can I take even more pressure off? Following Jesus shouldn't feel like a performance. You ever felt that? There's people that have been following Jesus a long time, but they've never experienced his freedom because they've been told how they're supposed to look and act, and it's become a performance and not truly who they are, and so they're worn out from doing it. What we do should flow from our heart, from our other side. Our following Jesus should be us recognizing his grace, his love, his mercy, his help in our lives. And then from a place of a changing, appreciative heart, we begin to act differently. That's why we're all at different places in this journey. None of us are perfect, but we're all at different places. That's why you still do some stuff that I don't. Notice how I said that part first. That's why I still do some stuff that you don't. We're all at different places, but we're being transformed little by little by little. We don't have to clean it up. If we follow Jesus, we let him transform us little by little by little, and you can be your true self. We shouldn't feel like it's a burden to follow Jesus. One of my favorite verses of scripture, Matthew 11:28. Jesus says it like this. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus did not come to add another burden to you so that you had to clean up and act a certain way. He came to lighten the load. And if you experience the freedom of authenticity in the presence of Jesus, there's nothing like it. We can be who we are in his presence and others. Now, that's not to say that we don't grow along the way. See, it's okay to not be okay. It's not okay to be okay with not being okay. Did y'all get that? Good, because I'm not going to say it again. I'm just kidding. I will. It's okay to not be okay. It's not okay to be okay with not being okay. Let me try it another way that's not so tongue-tying. It's okay to have junk, but it's not okay to be happy in your junk. Some of y'all are like, "You said it, Greer. I got it now." It's okay to have stuff. It's okay to have issues. It's okay to have brokenness. It's okay to have sin that you're working out. The problem becomes when you're okay being stuck right there. Jesus has this beautiful idea, this beautiful plan for us to come to him in our brokenness, all dirty. And as we follow him, he washes us little by little by little. We follow him out of appreciation that he was willing to take us in while we were still dirty. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you while you were a sinner. He welcomes you as a sinner. And then he wants to clean you up, not so that you're a trophy, but so that he can walk in relationship with you. And that is why you don't have to be a hypocrite. It means we deal with our junk. We don't fake it, but we deal with it. It's interesting, right? Because Jesus doesn't admire the same things we as culture admire. We usually admire the cleaned up. Jesus says, "No, I admire the broken down." We admire the ones who have it all together. Jesus says, "I admire the ones who are getting it together as they walk with me." He says, "Come to me in your brokenness. You don't have to hide it. You don't have to lie about it. You don't have to be religious about it. Follow me and let me change your heart." So we go back to Matthew 23, where Jesus is talking about these prayer boxes that they're wearing. Seems a little strange to us. But in this time period, a lot of men would have worn these prayer boxes that had parchment paper with the Ten Commandments on them. And so Jesus, when he kind of lights into these Pharisees, he's not complaining that they're wearing these boxes. No, the problem is, and what he's complaining about, is their boxes were so much bigger than other people. And so the reason why they did this was basically to say, "Hey, look at me. I'm more righteous than you." Can I ask you a question, a really personal question? Y'all are like, "You already asked one. I'm going to ask another one." Do you spend more time focused on how you look or how your heart is changing with Jesus? Do I spend more time focused on how I look to other people or how I'm becoming like Christ? It's an important question because in our culture, we spend a lot of time worried about the outside. I think we did that before. And I think social media culture has made it even worse. You take 16 photos so that you can post one perfect one. Don't you? You stand with that angle, ladies. You hold the phone really up high because it hides all of the stuff. And we're so concerned about how we look. And that's the problem for these Pharisees. But Jesus knows their other side. And he says, you're trying to dress up. You have these big prayer boxes so that you look holy. But I can see your heart. And I can promise you this. Jesus is so much more concerned with who you are becoming than how you appear. Jesus is so much more concerned with who you are becoming, growing in his love and grace, than he is with how you appear. The pressure's off. You don't have to fake it. So let's skip to verse 11. Jesus kind of concludes this section and he says, the greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus says, I see you. On the other side, Jesus finishes this entire part by telling them, you've been trying to dress it up. You've been playing these characters. You've been switching these masks. You've been trying to give off an appearance. But let me tell you what really matters to the God that you say you serve. It's about the other side. What you do doesn't matter as much about who you're becoming. And the people that are after me, Jesus says, are the people who are humble in heart. The people who are willing to admit, I don't have it all figured out. I'm broken. I'm messed up. But I'm saved by the grace of Jesus. And so I'm just going to follow him and see where he takes me. Jesus says, the prideful, they'll come down. It's the humble people that I will lift up because I know their other side. Because they're broken. They're messed up. But you know what? Their hearts. Their mind. And I can deal with that. I can deal with the outside. He says, I see you on the other side. So what does humility look like? I think the kind of humility Jesus is talking about here looks like you're humble enough to have a full view of who God is. Newsflash, I am not the center of the universe. God is. And humility means I recognize that I'm not in charge. I recognize that there is someone greater than me. I recognize that someone is looking out for me. I realize that he's holy and he's magnificent and he deserves everything that I am and he knows the real me. Being humble also means that I have a full view of myself. That I know that I'm messed up and that's a personal statement, y'all. I know that I'm messed up. But I'm not going to stay that way. Jesus is working on me. Some of you are like, thank you, God, because you're pretty messed up. Jesus is working on me. And he's working on you too, and it's okay. It's okay to admit it. Just be you. And then humility also means I have a full view of others. That we really are at different points in this thing. That, yeah, they may struggle differently than me, that doesn't make me any better than them. Jesus says, I see you, and I just want the real you. See, you don't have to be a hypocrite. Jesus welcomes you just as you are. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there's people in the room this morning who don't have a relationship with Jesus. And today you have recognized that you don't have to be perfect to have that relationship. If you need a relationship with Jesus this morning and you've just kind of felt this thing in your gut since the moment you walked in, it's the Holy Spirit and he's drawing you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit draws people to Jesus, and he's been doing it this morning. He's been after you. Would you just surrender? It's the best decision you'll ever make. You can say this prayer. You can say it out loud. It's just a confession. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. My other side, my heart isn't right. I've missed the mark. But I ask you to come into my life to change me, to change all sides of me. I surrender my life to you. I lay it down because you're worth it. For everybody else in the room, what are those areas that you've been trying to hide? It's time to lay them before an all-knowing, almighty, all-loving God. It's time to surrender him. Have you been guilty in the past of believing one thing but treating other people another way? Maybe you need to offer some apologies this week. God, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. God, you do know my heart. And you know that as I've prepared this week, that at times I've been overcome by my own insufficiencies. God, I pray that people this morning wouldn't hear this as a pastoral spanking or anything like that, but that they would hear it as a challenge from an almighty God to just come as they are, that you are worthy of their authentic self, and that you'll clean them and you'll change them as they go. God, thank you for this amazing family of believers. Thank you that I just get to be a part of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.